Amen. Well, I now don't want to take any more time, but just to let you know, in front of everyone publicly, that this hot, gorgeous, and beautiful woman is my wife. And she doesn't want me to say that, but she is just awesome, and I'm so privileged to have her as a wife, because she is the most incredible preacher you will ever hear. So open up your hearts and let the fire warm your soul.
It's quite a hard, anyway, it's quite hard to preach from that, but I just really felt like I'm actually just going to not do my notes. I felt like there's just been such an overwhelming presence of Jesus here tonight. And as Mark brought that word, I felt to declare that word over Highway. And to say to Highway, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you. Because the Lord has anointed you to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners. Highway, guys, there is just such an anointing on, I'm telling you now that Highway is going to be the most influential church in KZN, if not South Africa. There is such a, alright, where am I going to go? We really are, because we're loving Jesus. Because, you see, it's all about Jesus. It's not about the manifestations. It's not about what you do. It's about having a one-on-one relationship with Jesus. Everything that you do, everything that we do, comes out of a place of intimacy with Jesus. And if we don't have an intimacy with Jesus, we have nothing. We have nothing. We are empty. But Jesus comes and He fills, and He fills us. And so tonight I'm just picking off my sermon. I'm literally, so if it's all higgledy-piggledy, it was going to be of John 4, but I really just felt in John 4, we can go there, because now I'm being bitty, because I felt this was a bit of what God, I can't do the whole thing anymore. But in John 4, it says that we know the story really well, and it's about Jesus. It's about how there's a Samaritan woman, and he comes to a well. And okay, and he comes to this well, and he walks to this well, and I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit and go into it, but it was just so interesting to me, because we all know the story so well. We were brought up in the story. I listened to the story in Sunday school for years and years and years, and sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. And I felt to say to us, just paraphrasing, just the Samaritan woman came to the well to drink. The Samaritan woman and Jesus walked towards the well. You see, Jesus was the answer to the woman's thirst. Jesus says, "You'll never thirst again." The woman was thirsty physically, but she was thirsty spiritually at the same time. And like, I just saw this well as I was reading the word. It just came into me, and I just thought, you know, a well is half empty. A well in those days, they would have to go to the well, they'd have to dig a little bucket, the bucket would have to fall down, then they'd have to bring the, you know how it was? It wasn't just like taps. But the Lord just revealed to me that this is what it's like. The well represents man's works. The well, you see, the well will always be half empty. We can only draw half. If we are doing what we are doing in our own strength, and it's not coming from a place of just being so in love with Jesus, whatever we do, and we try and draw, so even though we are thirsty, physically, spiritually, you may be thirsty, and you may be wanting, saying, "God, I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty," but I promise you, friends, you cannot do it in your own strength. Because just as that Samaritan woman went, she was thirsty in the physical, but I feel like that is a spiritual representation of man. It's like Jesus, life, Jesus, the very person of Jesus, comes to the well, like if you're a picture person, pretend it's the movies, and there's a well, and the Samaritan woman is walking up to the well. And I just think it's this most beautiful thing, because Jesus just sees her efforts. Jesus sees her efforts. And we know that, but He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so good. He doesn't, condemn her or anything. He just says to her, he says to her, will you give me a drink? And now, just to put this in the context of a Samaritan woman, in those days there was the Samaritans and there were the Jews. The Jews and the Samaritans did not mix. In fact, the Samaritans were like the hated race. They were known to be the race that sinned the most. So for Jesus, this Jew, to come to the Samaritan woman, to love on her, just to come to her, just to talk to her, wasn't heard of in any case. But we know that Jesus, as we've been going through this, Jesus is grace. You see, Jesus didn't, it's got nothing to do with who you are, it's got nothing to do with your beliefs, it's got nothing to do with your works, it's got nothing to do with your religion. Friends, Jesus sees right through the essence of all of the works, and he just sees him, he sees you, he sees that he wants to fill you with his life, with his wellspring of life, as it goes on to later on in the scripture. And we know that because Jesus is grace, it's undeserved, unmerited favor. The Samaritan woman wasn't planning on finding Jesus. She didn't do anything to find, she just went to the well. But the Samaritan woman met Jesus, and she wasn't supposed to. Why? Because Jesus is grace. It's unearned, undeserved, unmerited. She's having an encounter with Jesus. She's doing her daily thing. She's doing what she knows, and the very essence of Jesus is coming up to her. And Jesus saw an opportunity just to give living water. He didn't judge. He didn't say, why are you working? He didn't say, we know he doesn't say that, so I shouldn't say that. We know Jesus. But just in John 4, verses 13. Now I'm all higgledy-piggledy. Let's take it from 11. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Because Jesus had spoken to her about the living water. You see, we say taste and see that the Lord is good, but actually, you know what happens in our life, and I really believe this, is that, like, sometimes people's lives are, you know, they say it's the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. We see people who are unsaved, and we just go up to them and we just plant little seeds. We just speak Jesus to them, and actually what happens is it just moves them a little bit further on. And what Jesus was doing here was, when he asked her that question, and he said to her, I will give you living water. It was like he was prompting her in her spirit, but she didn't realize it. She was becoming quizzy to what he was saying, in other words. So are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him the spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, Jesus, within you guys, right now, because we saved, because we have the Holy Spirit, there the Holy Spirit wasn't, because Jesus wasn't glorified yet, and so the Holy Spirit didn't come. But right now, within you and me, we have a wellspring of life. The Holy Spirit, it's like that representation of that well, just being there out in the desert, that just out in that place. Church, you have a well of the Holy Spirit with inside of you. And it is a well of living, real, holy, anointed life. The Holy Spirit, the water represents life. And so, like I said, I'm not going to go through everything, but I just really felt like, as a church, you know, church, we have got so much to give the world. So much to give the world. Don't underestimate you. Don't look over you and say, oh, it's just me. God can use this person. Oh, it's just me. God uses them. No. Jesus has put a well inside of you. It's living. There's a wellspring of life. Water. Living water. If the Holy Spirit is in you, living water is bubbling up from within inside of you. And all it is a God consciousness. It's a state of mind that says, Lord, I know, I acknowledge that you are in me. Jesus, you said that I will never thirst again. because your water is living water. Friends, as Christians, this is what makes us different to the world. This is why we are different. Because, you see, the church didn't not equip us. I mean, Jesus didn't not equip his church. Jesus has equipped us. He has given us more than we ever need. You see, basically what I'm trying to say is that just as Jesus was giving life to this thirsty woman, you and I are called to give life to the thirsty world. And there is a world out there, and there are people in your lives that don't know Jesus. There are people in your lives that need to know this wellspring of life, that need to know the beautiful love of Jesus, what Jesus has done for them, who Jesus is. Guys, this joy is not fake. This joy is real. This joy is what separates us. It separates us. Why? Because it says to us, it says to you and me, it says that whatever storm we are facing, we can be joyful in the midst of a storm. It says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, this is the thing within us, church. We have life within us. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The world is bitterness, sorrow, and depression. Not that bad. But without Jesus, it is. Without Jesus, it is. And the story is just so beautiful, and I won't go to it, but I just wanted to say, we know the story. I actually won't read through it if that's okay, but really, Jesus, when he was luring the woman at the well, he was sensitive to the Spirit. He didn't just blab out at her. It's almost like he asked her the question that she needed. But then we know what she does. He gives her a word of knowledge, and he says to her about her husband. Should we read that part? I just want to, because it is quite important. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband, come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is that you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." And she says, "What you have said is quite right and quite true, sir." I find it absolutely fascinating that, I'm pulling all this in together, that Jesus gives a word of knowledge, that the word of knowledge is a gift, is a tool. In Corinthians it says to us to eagerly desire the gifts of God. And a word of knowledge is like, it's like a knife. It's like the knife that does just a little piercing, just a little piercing, just a little cutting. Because we know then the Holy Spirit comes through. And Jesus gives her this word of knowledge. All of a sudden, wham, bam, she's exposed. She realizes that Jesus is a prophet. She realizes that Jesus is the truth. Why? Because there is power when we flow in our gifting. And church, I want to tell you now that every single one of you are gifted, but the word of God says that we must eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. So if you haven't given a word of knowledge or you haven't given a prophecy, I'm not condemning you tonight, but I'm saying to you that it's like a tool. It's like when a guy does surgery or the doctor does surgery, he just cuts the skin open. It's the tool that God has given us. Church, anyway, sorry, friends, you're not just the church. You're not just average people. You're the church. I mean, you're friends. Why I'm telling you this is so powerful is because a few weeks ago, actually 2 months ago about, Jennifer came to me and she phoned me and she said to me, "Corinne, I've got this friend, her name is Minnie, her mom is at home, she's sick, she's got this blood disease, she cannot get out of bed, she's just been lying in bed and everybody is going to go pray for her, the churches are going to go pray for her, but this is not right. Why is this lady sick in bed?" So we said to Jen, "Well, James and I will go with and we'll go and pray. Let's just go and pray. We're going to trust God. Come on. We just learned that we have the same spirit in us that raises Jesus from the dead. So we're going to go put this into practice." So one afternoon, James, myself, and Jen go. And it's these people's house, very, very wealthy home. And we walk in and the mom's lying down on her bed on this chair and the daughter's there and there's another boy, his name is Timothy, he's in the room. Not saved, not a Christian, thinking, oh, here comes the church again to try and heal mom, like lame, you know, or auntie, whoever she was. So we go in there and we prayed and we trusted God and we said, Lord Jesus, and we did whatever and we just prayed, but there was still something that wasn't right inside the room. And then James gets this prophetic word for this guy just sitting in the back, his name's Timothy. James just gets a spot on prophetic word of knowledge to the T, everything about Timothy's life, his family, what he's going to do, and how he's going to go into it. I want to tell you that the atmosphere in that room changed. It was like suddenly just belief entered the room. It was like people were like, they suddenly realized, you know what, you're not just people that's coming without power. You are coming with power because we know Timothy. And how did you know that, James? How did you know that about Timothy? Only God could have known that about Timothy. And do you know something significant happened in that room that day? Well, we believed. We walked out of that room, out of the house, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, about a few weeks later, James and I on spa on the Saturday night. It's like 10 to 8. I don't know what. Anyway, we went spa Saturday night. And I see this lady walking in the aisle. And I think, gee, she's looking at me a lot. But I just carried on and, just, you know, did my own thing. Eventually, she comes to me and she says to me, you guys are the pastors that came and prayed for us. So I suddenly realized, it's this lady. I forgot her name. It's Minnie's mom. But anyway. And she says to James, she says, you two were the ones who came and prayed for us. She's like, do you know that I'm healed? She's like, do you know that after I'm healed, look, I'm walking. She hadn't walked for ages. She got up and she walked. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we didn't see it happen right there and then. But what I'm saying is that a word of knowledge was released and faith was released into that place. And she was able to pull and draw on that faith. And that is exactly what happened here with Jesus and the woman in the well. She thought she didn't know who Jesus was. But when Jesus gave... So what I'm trying to say is here we see Jesus... And Jesus is even giving a word of knowledge.
Hello, there we go.
So, you see, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. It's something that you have a right to. But you know what? It is jolly scared. It is very, very scary to step out and to give a word. But I want to tell you now that I want to see Highway being a prophetic culture, being a group of people that when you walk into this place, you are completely, you walk out of here and you are built up. The prophetic is to build, to encourage, and to edify. And you know what, church? We often walk out of church, not in this church, but often in churches, we walk out depressed, like, and we just go and live our life the same, in a way. But when you have got a prophetic word that comes to you, something is built up within inside of you, and you suddenly feel like, you know what, God spoke tonight. And I feel like we don't hear God enough. Because if we heard God enough, we would... That's not condemning, but if we heard God enough, we would be alive. Because you know what happened when she heard God? When you know what happened when she heard Jesus? She went back to the town in Samaria. She then went to all her friends, and she wasn't the most popular lady in the world, I don't think. She didn't have the best reputation. She went, she rallied up all her friends. She said, come and listen, because the man who ever told me everything he ever knew about me is in this place, and he is the Messiah, and he is Jesus. And a crowd of people said, I want to hear Jesus. I want to know the truth. I want to know this Jesus. And a crowd of people were drawn to Jesus, and there was revival right then, there, in Samaria. amongst the sinners. Isn't that just awesome? So I just really want to encourage you guys tonight. I'm just going to leave it at that. But there really is eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Let's be a people that steps out. Let's be a people that says, Jesus, we want to be used of you. Jesus, we're hungry. Jesus, even if we say one or two words that builds up a work person at work, someone at work, even if we say two or three words in the shopping center, you know, church, when you see Jesus and when you realize what he has done for you, how can we keep this good news to ourselves? It was never meant to be for us. It's meant to be for a lost and a dying world out there. And it is so simple. The world is looking for hope. That is it. We don't need to go into Salem Center and get people saved. We don't need to get them saved. I think we got it wrong in the old days. I wasn't in the old days. I think they got it wrong in the old days. I think they made it too, like, systematic. Like, you had to have a pamphlet and you had to go through X, Y, and Z. And if you didn't go through it, then was the person saved? You know what I really believe? I really believe that people are looking for love. And they're going to find it in the church. Because Jesus is love. And we have Jesus, friends. So when we are in the shopping centers, I want to encourage you. And I want to implore you this week. Ask God to lead you and to let you speak to two or three people. That's all it takes. Maybe it's in the shopping center. Maybe it's just going up to a lady and saying to her, do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you want prayer for anything? You know, I've so many times gone and asked people if they want prayer. And do you know that just about no one has ever asked, said no to me? Because everybody wants prayer. So you just go and say, is there anything I can pray for you for? Just let's be as people who's seeking God's heart. Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying? Because I want to be your hands and I want to be your feet today. I want to go about my normal day, but Jesus, I want to bring hope and I want to bring joy and I want to speak peace into people's storms and I want to be a light in this world and I don't want to be a Christian that is ineffective and unproductive. I want to be a person who is after your heart, Jesus. Thank you.